Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Luke Haverly.
And this is Elizabeth Cuppet Haverly.
And we're already at February 3rd, 2022.
And we are thinking, Lou, about all of our listeners, and we thank the Lord for all of you, your kind letters and your help to us to keep us on the air. And we will need some more help before the end of the month. And if you'd like to help us, you can send some cash, a money order, or you could write a check made out to WWCR. We ask you to send these to Lou Haverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And Lou, what are the headlines now about the truckers who are resisting the COVID vaccine mandates?
From LifeSite News, the headline, Trudeau compares Canadian truckers at Freedom Convoy protest to Nazis, racists.
Ooh.
Trudeau said that, quote, freedom of expression, assembly, and association are cornerstones of democracy, but Nazi symbolism, racist imagery are not, unquote.
All this Nazism is, you know, we're reanalyzing the Holocaust. What did you tell me about Whoopi Goldberg?
Well, she said a few remarks. I don't know if it was on The View or where it was. Might have been on a late-night show, saying that the Nazi persecution of the Jews was not a racist thing or not racially motivated, something to that effect. And I suppose technically she's right, because the Jews were not a racial group in the sense of white, black, and so on.
No, and that's the very thing that Hitler tried to say. They were an inferior, quote, race.
Exactly.
So you said to me about Whoopi.
Well, Whoopi is in trouble.
I think you said, I usually don't agree with her,
I
Lou,
did, yes.
But this time I think maybe she was right.
Well, yes. I don't think she meant it in the way all of these, what's the word, ultra-critical people take it.
No, no, because this critical race theory, we know that this is just part of the globalist plan to dumb down people and set people at each other's throats. You know, everything, every institution in our society, I told you, was going bad now. And we know about this fertilizer fire that's down in North Carolina, isn't it? So they're taking away any means for us to grow food. Remember when we analyzed the chemtrails, why were they spraying? There was a reason. They were harming the soil. They were harming things so that eventually we wouldn't be able to grow crops. Why are the chemtrails there night and day? They can stop the rain. They're just changing things. And why do the globalists want to get all this carbon? You laughed at that, though, didn't you? That they're gathering up the carbon dioxide.
Yeah, I don't know. Scientifically, that hardly makes sense to me.
It's a drop in the bucket, isn't it? It's like a grain of sand in the ocean.
Yeah, it's like taking a cup of water out of the ocean and say, oh, we bailed out the ocean now.
Yeah. So now, anyway, Trudeau actually said, what did he say?
He said, freedom of expression, assembly, and association are cornerstones of democracy, but Nazi symbolism, racist imagery are not. Those are his words. This is by Kennedy Hall and dated Monday, January 31st, 2022. Dateline, Ottawa, Canada. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau broke his silence in the trucker convoy on Monday with a press conference, claiming the freedom movement was tarnished by Nazi and racist sympathies. Tens of thousands of Canadians fighting against vaccine mandates, along with thousands of trucks, descended on Ottawa over the weekend to stage one of the largest protests in Canadian history. Similar protests took place across the country as well. Justin Trudeau fled Ottawa just before the convoy of trucks arrived, citing exposure to COVID, even though at the time he tested negative. Today he tweeted that he had tested positive despite being triple vaccinated. This morning, and these are his words in a tweet, this morning I tested positive for COVID-19. I'm feeling fine, and I'll continue to work remotely this week while following public health guidelines. Everyone, please get vaccinated and get boosted. Signed, Justin Trudeau, January 31st. So, Justin, I'll just interject a couple of words, that Justin flew the coop. He didn't want to have to face these people. Going on with the article, within the first couple of minutes of the press conference, Trudeau said that, quote, and this is that same quote, freedom of expression, assembly, and association are cornerstones of democracy, but Nazi symbolism, racist imagery are not, unquote. He was asked by a reporter if he would meet with the truckers or attend the protest, as he intended, as he attended, for instance, the Black Lives Matter, BLM, demonstrations during the height of lockdown in 2020. But he said he would not. And this is his quote, I have attended protests in the past when I agreed with the goals, referring to BLM. But he is choosing to stay away from the trucker protests because of that, quote, hateful rhetoric and, quote, violence towards citizens, unquote. Trudeau's expressed unwillingness to support the trucker convoy movement due to his belief that there is a risk of violence associated with the movement is in contrast to his government's past action that saw him hand over a compensation check of $100 million, yes, you heard that right, $100 million to a convicted terrorist who killed an American soldier. Despite Trudeau's claims of violence and hateful messaging present at the protest, police on the scene commented on how peaceful the event was.
Lou, it's just so heartening that all over the world, people are awakening to the real story of the bioweapon genocide that has already doomed millions to serious injury and a premature death. And we have to add here that the life insurance companies are starting to see this huge uptick in deaths. We heard about one company that was an American life insurance company, and now we've heard about Aegon, and I believe that was Belgian. Is that what you recall? I think it was Belgium.
I think it was either Dutch or Belgium.
Yes, I think Dutch. And at any rate, in the third quarter of 2020, we looked at the figure. They looked at their figures, and then they looked at them again for the third quarter of 2021, and there was something like a 250%+ increase. It's just astounding. So we've heard commenters say that life insurance companies will have to raise their premiums for people who are vaccinated or, they're going to go out of business. So all of this is starting to break everywhere. And Lou, I think you have more now.
Yes. Remember how we went to the Stu Peters Show on Brighteon.com on Monday the 31st to hear a most recent interview Stu had with their hospital system whistleblower. She told that during the beginning of the COVID pandemic, she saw no uptick in deaths. But after Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson began their COVID vaccine rollout, things certainly changed.
That's for sure. The whistleblower from a part of the country, she said, that was highly COVID vaccinated, this hospital system that she worked for, she said, has become absolutely overwhelmed with corpses of people who died from strokes and heart attacks.
Yes, and another recent guest on Stu Peters' show, a highly qualified medical expert, described what happened when he tried to embalm one of these corpses. He had great difficulty and had to pull out a huge blood clot from the man's leg. But here's the big show. The big shock.
That was my writing.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
But here's the big shock. A tough, white, fibrous attachment to the blood clot was as long as the man's leg. More corpses showed more of these long, fibrous accompaniments to the blood clots.
These poor, unsuspecting folks didn't have a chance, Lou. The woman guest described how her hospital system had to keep enlarging the number of its gurney systems, tripling the number of places to hold corpses, and later even increasing the number more. Funeral homes were so backed up that they're now taking 3 days to get the bodies.
Elizabeth, remember that now the hospital has been forced to park a large refrigerated truck near the hospital, parked in an area that has been off limits to the public since the pandemic began.
Yes, and, that's the clandestine nature of all of this, isn't it? From Pope Francis meeting secretly with the Pfizer CEO to Johns Hopkins having pandemic types of exercises and drills way back, maybe like 2016. Actually, there was one earlier in the early 2000s, and then in the 2019 event to that also preceded the COVID thing, we can see that this is an ominous plan. And I reminded you the other day, Lou, that we had found out, and we broadcast this one time, the meaning of COVID-19 and what the letters stood for, and it was Certificate of Vaccination ID, and then the 19, using the kind of numerology from the Bible, the Hebrew numerology, 19, the 1 stands for A, and the 9 stands for I, artificial intelligence. They were telling us right there that this is a plan to try to bring in the transhumanist cyborg human who will not be human anymore. It's just so important that we bring these things out to you. So it's so good to know that the Canadian truckers convoy and the one in the U.S. that's upcoming, we hear that there's one that's going to start in California and move across country, that these are waking up more and more people. So we pray that more and more lives will be spared through knowledge of the global vax genocide underway. But tonight, our Divided Kingdom program is titled Demonic Rebellion Against God's Laws, Destroyer of Bodies and Souls. Where are the convoys of pastors who need to go across America weeping and wailing about advising their flocks to have aborted fetal cell line vaccinations in the COVID era, putting in their blood, the blood that God said must be kept pure, this horrible aborted fetal derivation or origination? The life is in the blood. Jesus illustrated that he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to give each human being the chance to choose eternal life through repentance for sins.
This vital program will soon be posted at DividedKingdomRadio.com.
But first of all, we must mention again that it was, I believe, a Belgian company named Aegon reported this change, and I do now have the exact figures. In the fourth quarter of 2020, the payouts were for 31 million deaths. But in 2021, in the fourth quarter, the payout was, again, this is the 258% increase. And I think maybe that was something like 110, something like that, that made that. Go ahead, Lou.
Thank you, Elizabeth. This vital program will soon be posted at DividedKingdomRadio.com.
And we must urge you to tell others. You see, a little pebble rolls down the hillside, and it meets another pebble and another. An urban rumor grows. So do you want to save your friends and family? We're just so heartsick that we lost a neighbor. We know that this was probably the COVID shot. And another friend's brother who had COVID and then got Moderna. I believe it was Moderna. And then he was found dead. So his heart attack took him. But we know why. So we ask you to really go to our website. More, Lou?
Yes. As Elizabeth just said, tell your family and friends to visit our listening archives at the website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and also read our crucial November and December essays under the heading on our website, Breaking News.
And you have to hit Breaking News twice, don't you?
You do. There's a, I guess you call it a tab or whatever the proper designation is. You hit that once, and it will give you three choices, and then hit Breaking News a second time once you see those choices, and it will take you to the essays from the most recent one, printed first, and then all the way down to the earlier ones.
And it's so important that you go back and look at the essay starting in November on up, because we really had a lot of key information about what's in the shots. And so this is so important. And we want to applaud those of you who held to your convictions. We have had another word from the doctor you've prayed for in Pennsylvania that he has had a little bit of part-time work. And please keep him in your prayers. Let us keep each other in prayer that God may mercifully give us more time, because we need to pray that America will repent, and then God will give us the leaders that we deserve, leaders who are not turncoats. We can then begin to restore America. But tonight, we have this program that tells us why God does not like America. Let's put it that way. Along with the demonic destruction of bodies and souls going on, we are also going to present some evidence of some worthy persons attempting to overthrow these despicable things.
From WorldNet Daily, this headline, Twix's Halloween ad sends a ghoulish message. And I should add, the latest evil flamed into being around Halloween, escalated through Christmas, and finally culminated in USA Today's shocking pro-pedophilia January 2022 article. So, as I said, this is from WorldNet Daily by Michael Brown, and it was published right around the last October 30th, 2021. There's nothing covert about the message, nothing sublime, nothing cryptic. Quite the contrary, the message is clear and in your face. If you have a problem with a little boy wearing a princess dress and believe that people who dress like witches with spike collars look weird, you will be blown away, meaning literally blown away, as in swept away by a gust of wind produced by a dark, angry witch. And this is a Twix commercial for Halloween. The ad itself is slow-moving and hardly compelling, not the kind of commercial that would make you want to eat a candy bar. It features a boy in a princess dress with his new nanny, dressed all in witch-like black, as they go to a park for the boy to play. But the pace picks up when another boy says to the boy in the dress, "You look like a girl," which he does. The boy then asks, "Why are you wearing that?" The boy in the dress replies, "Dressing like this makes me feel good," which apparently is supposed to be a powerful line in defense of trans identity. Yes, as any parent knows, if your child feels good doing something, then by all means you should encourage them to do it, regardless of what lines are crossed and what boundaries are transgressed. After all, isn't that the key to effective parenting, namely determining if your values and rules and guidelines make your children feel good? If not, well, we know the old adage, children know best. Apologies for the sarcasm. What makes the Twix scenario all the more tragic is that there is a rapidly growing body of evidence against children acting out their trans identities, especially with the help of puberty blockers and then sex change surgery. But no, Twix wants to encourage even the little kids to deny the realities of their biological sex. And heaven help anyone who would take issue with those kids. A big bad witch might get you too. Getting back to the ad, the other boy then says that both the nanny and the boy in the dress look weird, and are weird. To this, the boy in the dress replies, "No, we're just different." Only to be told, "Boys don't wear dresses." It's at this point that the wind starts to pick up, with the witch nanny casting a spell. And then, boom, the transphobic boy disappears after yelling help. There will be no help for him. He deserves to be violently whisked away, maybe for good, maybe to have another chance. The ad doesn't tell us for sure. The lesson, then, is learned well. You do not insult a witch, and you do not take issue with a boy wearing a dress. Now go and buy a Twix candy bar. To be sure, if I were raising a child today, I would teach that child not to insult other kids, let alone adults. That means I would not be encouraging my son or daughter to tell others that they were weird. At the same time, I would teach my child that a boy who wears a princess dress is confused, in need of love and prayer rather than affirmation and praise. And while I would not want my child to tell a witch that she was weird, I would certainly tell my child that the devil was real, that demons were real, and that witches were playing with unholy fire, needing to be saved and redeemed. For Twix, however, the synopsis of the ad was this, quote, with a little magic, new nanny helps a non-binary child deal with bullies and find self-acceptance, unquote.
And there's another viewpoint. This time it was by Christine Favocci at the Western Journal, and this was republished at WorldNet Daily. Candy commercial advocates blowing away child who speaks out against transgender kid. Forget the treats this Halloween. One candy company is doling out sickening woke tricks instead. Mars Incorporated recently released an ad for its Twix candy bar that pits a cross-dressing little boy and his witch nanny against the world. The two-minute ad goes full woke in a disturbing scenario that not only endorses the perversion of a little boy via his supportive occult companion, but also paints naysayers as enemies to be vanquished. Libs of TikTok shared this stomach-turning advertisement, once again proving the account's bona fides as a depository for the glut of cultural rot spewing daily from the left. The, quote, bite-sized Halloween ad begins with a little boy wearing a purple princess dress playing with dolls in his living room. His doorbell rings and he opens the door to find a black-clad witch who tells him she's a, quote, new nanny. The witch and the transvestite boy then venture out into the world, and what comes next is a modern-day leftist morality play with a disturbing ending. The gender-confused boy is first confronted by little girls who ridicule him for being in costume when it isn't Halloween, correct? Followed by a boy in a cape who tells him boys don't wear dresses, right again, before calling both the dress-clad boy and his nanny weird, give cape boy a candy bar for another accurate statement. The angry witch then summons the wind to banish cape boy with the implication that it may be forever. As the boy princess and his evil protector walk off hand in hand, confident that anyone who doesn't wholeheartedly support the corruption and perversion of a child will be banished for such dissent. This ad is problematic right out of the gate for its normalization of deviant behavior, though it's no surprise coming from the Mars company. A news release from the company regarding Pride Month reads like a Mad Libs essay where only leftist buzzwords are permissible choices to fill in the blanks. Like many major companies joining the crusade against decency, Mars has adopted the language of the far left, intent on following the Pride rainbow straight to its pot of profit gold. One of the topics the company's release touched on was the rationale for whitewashing the brightly colored Skittles candy as a nod to the sexual perversion agenda that happens each June. This year, for Pride Month, Skittles gave up its signature rainbow by removing its iconic, colorful branding to celebrate pride in the LGBTQ+ community and highlight that during Pride, only one rainbow is important, the company explained. But more troubling than the agenda the ad endorses is the way it deals with the other children who object to the boy's gender-bending behavior. The witch nanny acts as sort of a dark inversion of a guardian angel for the boy, using her violent behavior to punish anyone who dares tell the truth, to insulate him from the ridicule and shame that wearing a dress in public would predictably draw from other children. And though Cape Boy's delivery leaves something to be desired, he accidentally performs the important function of speaking for those who recognize the social norms that are being violated by such a display. Of course, the way he's treated turns back on the average viewers, who no doubt instinctively sympathize with Cape Boy as a force to be snuffed out as the only way to protect boys who cross-dress. In a sane world, a little boy in a dress would be pitied for having warped sensibilities, not protected and encouraged in his self-destructive behavior, and certainly not held out as an example to promote a candy bar. But this isn't a sane world. This is an increasingly godless society where liberalism has run amok and where logic has been replaced by emotionality that exalts feelings over truth. Twix is just the latest in a long line of products to be co-opted to fight the left's battle against decency. Maybe it's fitting, then, that the candy's main ad campaign involves encouraging people to choose which candy bar in the twin pack, the left and the right, they like better. But the real choice here isn't between left or right, or even trick or treat. The choice in accepting woke perversion is really a decision between good and evil.
Wherever Satan is, schools are never far behind. October was progressing while man pageant scandal hits Kentucky High School. This was from WorldNet Daily and appeared just around October this past year. It's by Kendall Teeth, Daily Caller News Foundation. Parents of students at Hazard High School in Kentucky, and we should comment, this is Luke commenting, tell me God doesn't sometimes telegraph warnings to us through a name. Notice that name was Hazard High School.
Wow.
And those students and parents, or parents of students there, are upset over inappropriate dances and costumes at a student assembly. Station K, WKYT, reported. Students dressed up for what the Courier-Journal called a, quote, man pageant, unquote. Female students donned Hooters uniforms with mugs that looked like they were filled with beer. Boys danced inappropriately with teachers while dressed in women's lingerie. And students were allegedly paddled at the event, WKYT reported. Photos of the costume contest, which was part of the school's homecoming week, were originally posted to Hazard High School Athletics Facebook page, but are now deleted, WKYT reported. Principal of Hazard High School and mayor of Hazard, Happy Mobilini, was shown in the event's photos. He told WKYT Wednesday that all questions regarding the incident should be directed toward the superintendent's office. Mobilini was investigated in 2008 over Facebook photos that allegedly showed him driving his daughter and her four teenage friends while they drank alcohol and smoked cigarettes, the Courier-Journal reported. The students said the principal wasn't aware they were drinking and smoking. Well, when you're in the same car with people, and this is Lou interjecting, I never had any problems detecting smoking people in my cars. But getting back to the article, he, that is the mayor, also came under fire the same year when 12 students were caught drinking and charged with underage alcohol intoxication on the Hazard High School football field, according to the newspaper. But he was not charged. Some students and parents said the event is being blown out of proportion, WKYT reported. Quote, it wasn't meant to be anything sexual, senior Legend Goins, I guess that's the person's name, Legend Goins told WKYT. He went on to say it was just a joke so we could get more laughs, so we could win, unquote. Another senior, John Maxlover, told the radio station, quote, I think that everyone is taking it way too far. Every year up to this year, I would say they're just as vulgar as you would put it, unquote. The superintendent, Sandra Crumbs, released a statement, first obtained by WKYT, that the event was investigated and said appropriate action was taken. Quote, we strive to foster creativity in our students, but unfortunately, this time it was carried too far, the superintendent's statement read. And she said also, in today's society, students must understand that everything posted online is permanent. It is there on public display for everyone to see and share around the globe. We would hate to see a single youthful indiscretion haunt one of our children for their entire life. We have a dress code that is to be followed at all times. And her statement added, in the future, we will strive to keep the lighthearted, fun nature of school activities without the inappropriate behavior, unquote. Hazard High School did not immediately respond to the Daily Caller News Foundation's request for comment.
Still, moving on the timeline there in October 2021. We come to LifeSite News asking the question, October 25th, is Biden commander-in-chief of the U.S. military or of the dark forces behind the sexual revolution? As his poll numbers continue to crash and burn, President Biden is doing himself no favors in revealing himself to be not the commander-in-chief of the United States military, but of the dark forces of the sexual revolution. Three newsworthy events occurred last week, showing that the Biden administration and Democrats in general have reached peak insanity when it comes to their gross, willful ignorance and misunderstanding of human sexuality. They are indeed insane, deranged, untethered from reality. There are no better terms to describe this perverse White House and the man who sits behind the desk in the Oval Office. One, on Sunday, October 17th, Secretary of Transportation, homosexual Pete Buttigieg, revealed that he has been out on extended paternity leave since August. Why? Because his children are motherless by design. And we have to interject again on an earlier program. You probably heard us give you the tip that we got from a very astute source that Pete Buttigieg was also helping to guard those opium fields with our troops, guarding them in Afghanistan. Yes, why did we have that long war? Oh, my goodness. I don't think it was for altruistic reasons. Number two, on Tuesday, October 19th, Assistant Secretary for Health at the United States of Health and Human Services, Richard Rachel Levine, was declared to have made history as the first openly transgender four-star officer admiral. On Wednesday, October 20th, the U.S. Department of State observed, quote, International Pronouns Day, advancing Babel-like gender confusion within its own ranks and around the world. And this odd behavior from the State Department seems to confirm that the Biden administration is more interested in the whims of Twitter users than in diplomacy. These little acts may seem harmless, but they demonstrate how our government prefers to emphasize performative wokeness than to confront the growing threats against our country. They make America seem weak, and there are consequences to that.
Yes, Elizabeth, further repercussion came in January 2022 with this odd expansion of Biden's dark forces. From LifeSite News, Biden administration allows transgender male convicts to be housed with women in federal prisons. Friday, January 28th, 2022, Washington. The Biden administration issued radical new transgender prison policies earlier this month, reversing Trump-era guidance and allowing male convicts who say they are transgender to be housed with women, putting female inmates at increased risk of sexual assault. On January 13th, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, or BOP, quietly updated its Transgender Offender Manual to restore Obama administration guidelines that recommended federal prisoners be housed according to, quote, gender identity, unquote. The move reverses a subsequent Trump policy that required inmates in federal prisons to be placed based on their biological sex. According to the new manual, the BOP will now determine whether to place prisoners in line with their alleged gender identities on a case-by-case basis without reference to anatomy. Quote, in deciding whether to assign a transgender or intersex inmate to a facility for male or female inmates, the agency shall consider on a case-by-case basis whether a placement would ensure the inmate's health and safety and whether the placement would present management or security problems, the document states. The manual also makes clear that gender-confused inmates' wishes are to be given significant weight when deciding housing assignments. It reads, quote, in making housing unit and programming assignments, a transgender or intersex inmate's own views with respect to his or her own safety must be given serious consideration, unquote. The BOP noted that transgender prisoners ordinarily, and that's in quotes, ordinarily may not be considered for transfer unless they have not committed serious infractions, such as rape or homicide, within the last year, but added that they may be considered quote, on a case-by-case basis, unquote, at any time. The policies do not apply to state prisons. The Biden administration's new prison rules come despite recent reports across liberal states of male convicts who identify as transgender assaulting female inmates. In California, transfers of men to women's state prisons last year have already resulted in multiple sexual assaults, according to a lawsuit filed in November on behalf of four incarcerated women.
And, you know, yes. California, there's California moving on in this demonic spirit that we're talking about. And in November, here was what LifeSite News reported. California teachers say they stalked kids, pushed them to join LGBT clubs. Speakers at a California Teachers Association conference went so far as to tout their surveillance of students, Google searches, internet activity, and hallway conversations, Abigail Schreier said. This was by Raymond Wolf, Monday, November 22nd. Salinas, California. Is that Salinas or Salinas?
I think it's Salinas, but I'm not entirely sure.
Members of California's largest teachers union discussed how they stalked children to get them to join LGBT clubs and mocked parents who complained about pro-LGBT content in their classrooms, according to leaked files obtained by author Abigail Schreier. Schreier reported that speakers at a conference of the California Teachers Association, CTA, last month went so far as to tout their surveillance of all these things that we've mentioned in order to target sixth graders for personal invitations to LGBTQ clubs while actively concealing these clubs' membership roles from participants' parents. She said three participants sent her files from the CTA's 2021 LGBTQ Plus Issues Conference, Beyond the Binary, Identity, and Imagining Possibilities. One middle school teacher, Kelly Baraki, reportedly said during a seminar titled Queering in the Middle that she, quote, stalked students' online activity and monitored their conversations before inviting them to her Gay Straight Alliance, GSA, group. When we were doing our virtual learning, we totally stalked what they were doing on Google when they weren't doing schoolwork, Baraki said. One of them was Googling Trans Day of Visibility, and we're like, check. We're going to invite that kid when we get back on campus. Whenever they follow the Google Doodle links or whatever, right, we make note of those kids and the things that they bring with each other in chats or email or whatever. We use our observations of kids in the classroom, conversations that we hear, to personally invite students, she added, because that's really the way we kind of get the bodies in the door, right? They need sort of a little bit of an invitation. Another teacher, Lori Caldera, who works with Baraki at Buena Vista Middle School, told participants that not keeping a record of children who attended her pre-LGBT group helped deflect questions from parents. Sometimes we don't really want to keep records because if parents get upset that their kids are coming, we're like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they came, she said. You know, we would never want a kid to get in trouble for attending if their parents are upset. Calderia, an LGBT club advisor for the Spreckles Union School District, explained in a podcast last year that her group, quote, deals a lot with sexual orientation and gender identity. What happens in this room stays in this room, she said. Calderia's name was notably included in a 2018 letter signed by, quote, parents of transgender children who criticize the Trump administration's pro-family policies. The advice to those who run middle school LGBTQ clubs is to keep no records so you can plead ignorance of the membership with the members' parents, Schreier said. In fact, Baraki can be heard in the same session describing having named her club, quote, the Equity Club, and then UBU, rather than the more ubiquitous GSA. A little mind trick on our sixth graders. In another workshop, how we run a GSA in conservative communities, Caldera noted that she and Baraki became motivated to pursue LGBTQ kids because they missed them. Quote, we have LGBTQ kids who come to us, and they come and spend a year with us, Caldera said, but then they go hang with their friends at lunch. And they do their things, and we love them for that, but we miss them when they don't join us. So we saw our membership numbers start to decline, she continued. At another point, Baraki mocked parents who objected to an anti-bullying presentation that discussed homosexuality. One parent complained, saying that she, quote, had not intended to have a conversation with her middle schooler about sexual orientation and gender identity, but the school presentation forced her hand, according to Schreier. I know. So sad. Sorry for you. You had to do something hard, Baraki said. Honestly, your 12-year-old probably knew all that, right? I have tenure. You can't fire me for running a GSA, Caldera later added, and so you can be mad, but you can't fire me for it. CTA has made it very clear that they are devoted to human rights and equity. They provide us with these sources, these resources and tools. In response to parental backlash, Baraki proposed doing a little mind trick on our sixth graders next year. Quote, they were last to go through this presentation, and the gender stuff was the last thing we talked about. So next year, they'll be going first with this presentation, and the gender stuff will be the first thing they are about, hopefully to mitigate, you know, these kinds of responses, right? School district responds. In response to Schreier's report, Spreckels Union School District sent an email to parents condemning Baraki and Caldera's comments as, quote, alarming, concerning, and disappointing. Many of the comments and themes stated in the article are alarming, concerning, disappointing, and do not in any way reflect the district or Board of Education's policies and practices, district officials said. The response noted that the district has suspended the LGBT club UBU in addition to other, quote, immediate steps to address several of the concerns raised in the article.
It's important to note that while the November 2021 California teachers were stalking their students, a statewide school curriculum was under the jurisdiction of an Aztec god of human sacrifices. This was not removed till early 2022. Here's the story from LifeSite News. California removes chant to the demonic Aztec god of human sacrifice from school curriculum. By Doug Mainwaring, Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. Following a lawsuit by concerned parents, the state of California has agreed to remove a chant to the Aztec god of human sacrifice from its statewide ethnic studies model curriculum. That is ESMC. Quote, the Aztec prayers at issue, which seek blessings from and the intercession of these demonic forces, were not being taught as poetry or history, noted attorney Paul M. Johnner, partner at Limandry & Johnner, LLP, and special counsel to the Thomas More Society, who represented the parents. Rather, the ESMC, this is again a quote from him, rather the ESMC instructed students to chant the prayers for emotional nourishment after a, quote, lesson that may be emotionally taxing, or even when student engagement may appear to be low, unquote. The idea was to use them as prayer, explained Johnner in a Twitter thread. He continued, the Aztecs regularly performed gruesome and horrific acts for the sole purpose of pacifying and appeasing the very beings that the prayers from the curriculum invoke. And he said that when he initiated the complaint in September. The human sacrifice, cutting out of human hearts, flaying of victims, and wearing their skin are a matter of historical record, along with sacrifices of war prisoners and other repulsive acts and ceremonies the Aztecs considered or conducted to honor their deities. Any form of prayer and glorification of these bloodthirsty beings in whose name horrible atrocities were performed is repulsive to any reasonably informed observer. Unquote. The controversial curriculum, deeply rooted in critical race theory and critical pedagogy, relies on viewing culture with a race-based lens and an oppressor-victim dichotomy, according to a press release from the Thomas More Society. Education activist Christopher Rufo, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, who had been leading the charge against the teaching of critical race theory in public schools, wrote last year, "The chants have a clear implication. The displacement of the Christian God, which is said to be an extension of white supremacist oppression, and the restoration of the indigenous gods to their rightful place in the social justice cosmology. It is, in a philosophical sense, a revenge of the gods." Rufo said the purpose of the new curriculum was to transform California schools into factories for left-wing political activism. Quote, "They have recast the United States as an oppressive nation that must be deconstructed and subverted through politics," continued Rufo. "The curriculum's vision statement makes this aim explicit. It presents education not as a means of achieving competency, but as a, quote, tool for transformation, social, economic, and political change and liberation. The religious element of the ethnic studies curriculum," and this is again part of that quote, "with direct appeal to Aztec gods is almost certainly a violation of the First Amendment's Establishment Clause," wrote Rufo at the time. "Public schools are prohibited from leading state-sanctioned Christian prayers. They would presumably be similarly prohibited from leading state-sanctioned chants to the Aztec god of human sacrifice. We are encouraged by this important, hard-fought victory," announced Frank Zhu, president of Californians for Equal Rights Foundation, who joined parents in the lawsuit. "Our state has simply gone too far in attempts to promote fringe ideologies and racial grievance policies, even those that disregard established constitutional principles." And here is another quote. "Today is a day of relief," declared Jose Velasquez, one of the parents who filed suit against the state. "To know it took a multiracial coalition of individuals with different backgrounds and beliefs to move a mountain to challenge the state education apparatus, both the INLAC EC and the ASH affirmations repetitively invoke religious gods or deities, which should be deleted from any public education curricula because our education system is not above the law. It is up to courageous parents, citizens, and organizations to stand up for what's right," unquote. In addition to agreeing to permanently remove the Aztec prayer chant from the state curriculum, California agreed to pay $100,000 towards St. Thomas More Society attorney's fees.
And by early December 2021, Lou and I thought we'd just check to see whether Hallmark Channel had dropped the LGBTQ agenda that it installed in its storylines for Christmas 2020, and we had turned it off at that time for good. So Lou checked out both Hallmark and Lifetime, and here were the dreadful results. This came from the source out.com. Hallmark update. Part of the Hallmark Channel's impressive and packed slate of 41 brand new Christmas movies being released this holiday season, the upcoming sequel to last year's gay inclusive The Christmas House, tentatively entitled Deck the Halls, was reuniting the original cast for another round of queer holiday cheer, including Mean Girls alum Jonathan Bennett and Brad Harder, the two actors who play the lovable husband and husband duo in the first movie. Then we looked at Lifetime. Lifetime is bringing us its first ever lesbian romance with the upcoming holiday film Under the Christmas Tree. While they initially spar, romantic sparks soon begin to fly between two women as the enchanting tree and some Christmas fairy dust from the town's patisserie extraordinaire, Ricky Lake, bring out the best in them. I thought it said lust, Lou. That was your writing. It would have fit.
Yes.
It would have fit better.
It would have fit.
Brought out the best in them and spark each other to take leaps of faith and fight for love and Christmas magic. And I think now we move on, do we not?
Yes, I guess we do. From LifeSite News, Chicago schools force boys and girls to share restrooms for the sake of gender equity. by Calvin Freiberger.
Friday, what was the date?
This was dated December 3rd, 2021.
And we see we're moving toward the end of the year and then on into January. This terrible spirit that we entitled Demonic Rebellion Against God's Laws, Destroyer of Bodies and Souls. Yes, what's the latest example there, December 23rd? And by the way, we can see that we're not going to finish all of this. There will be part two, and that will be February 10th, part two of Demonic Rebellion Against God's Laws, Destroyer of Bodies and Souls. You won't want to miss this. Go ahead, Lou.
Dateline Chicago, Chicago Public Schools, CPS, announced that it would require all schools under its jurisdiction to post signs expressly permitting students and staff to choose male or female restrooms based on their preferred gender identity, this is in quotes, gender identity or expression, unquote, all in the name of achieving gender equity. And a CPS Title IX officer, Cami Pratt, said in a video, quote, all CPS students and staff will have fair and equitable access to bathroom facilities that align with their gender identity, unquote. She said that effective December 1st, the signs will, quote, make it clear that all restrooms are open for use by anyone who feels comfortable, unquote. We're requiring, and this is from the Chicago Public Schools, I believe it's a Twitter note, we're requiring all schools to adopt new signage to make our restrooms more inclusive. This is a big step forward for gender equity for our students and staff. And let's see, Pratt added, staff will continue to have staff-only restrooms available to them, without mentioning whether those restrooms or other single-occupancy accommodations will be available to students who do not wish to share intimate facilities with a member of the opposite sex. Quote, our district's Office of Student Protections and Title IX is also working on a long-term plan to create more permanent signage for our bathrooms, unquote. And one parent responded on social media, as highlighted by the Daily Wire, quote, my girls will not feel comfortable sharing a bathroom with boys. Who is making these ridiculous decisions? Who is making sure girls are not harassed or bullied in these stalls? Where can my child get privacy to ensure no boy will try to peek at her while she is in a stall, unquote. Conservatives argue that forcing children and teens to share intimate facilities with members of the opposite sex violates their privacy rights, subjects them to needless emotional stress, and gives potential male predators a viable pretext to enter female bathrooms or locker rooms. A public revolt over such policies recently fueled Republican Glenn Youngkin's victory over Democrat Terry McAuliffe for the governorship of Virginia, as well as a GOP takeover of the state House of Delegates, especially the rape of a female student by a transgender classmate in a girls' restroom in Loudoun County, Stonebridge High School. In June, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal of a lower court ruling that trans ex-student Gavin Grimm had a constitutional right to use male restrooms at Gloucester High School, also in Virginia, effectively letting stand a victory for transgender redefinition of federal non-discrimination rules.
And by January 2022, there was some righteous pushback. LifeSite News headline, gender fluid bathroom rapist at Virginia High School sentenced, put on sex offender list. The judge also revealed that the boy allegedly attacked a third girl, Raymond Wolf, January 13th, Loudoun County, Virginia. The 15-year-old boy who raped a female classmate last year in the girls' bathroom of a Virginia high school has been sentenced to probation at a residential treatment facility amid new revelations that he allegedly attacked a third girl. Judge Pamela Brooks also ordered the boy onto the sex offender registry for the rest of his life, noting that she had never before placed a juvenile on the registry. His psychosexual evaluation scared her, she said. Quote, over the years, this court has read many psychosexual reports, and when I read yours, frankly, it scared me. It scared me for you. It scared me for society, Brooks told the boy, who was wearing a skirt and blouse during the bathroom rape at Stonebridge High School in Loudoun County. Scott Smith, the father of the first victim, has described him as gender fluid. The judge convicted the boy, whose name has been withheld, of forcible sodomy in October in the Stonebridge case. She later ruled that he sexually assaulted another girl at Broad Run High School days before the October hearing. The Loudoun County School District had transferred him to the other school despite the previous bathroom incident. The 15-year-old boy's probation will last until he turns 18, after which he will return to court for, quote, next steps, NBC Washington reported. Judge Brooks noted that her decision to order him to residential treatment instead of juvenile jail came only after his victims and their families asked that he be given psychological help, according to the New York Post. The judge also said that a third girl has accused the boy, though she has not come forward to bring charges, according to NBC Washington. The Loudoun County School District's handling of the shocking abuse cases sparked outrage last year when it was revealed that school officials in a liberal county knew about the bathroom rape but publicly denied that it happened. In a May 28th email, Loudoun County Superintendent Scott Ziegler alerted the school board that, quote, a female student alleged that a male student sexually assaulted her in the restroom that same day. The sheriff's office, quote, is investigating the matter, he said. But at a school board meeting in June, Ziegler claimed that we don't have any record of assaults occurring in our restrooms and that, quote, the predator transgender student or person simply does not exist. The board was at the time actively considering a policy to let students use bathrooms according to their gender identity rather than their biological sex. The school board approved the proposal in August. The district additionally failed to report the May rape in statistics required by state law, the Daily Wire reported. Scott Smith also attended the June school board meeting where he tried to tell his daughter's story but was arrested for unlawful attendance. The National School Board Association later cited Smith in a letter to the White House calling for federal investigations of parents who pushed back on left-wing school policies, likening them to domestic terrorists. Can we see where this trend is going? Loudoun County Commonwealth Attorney Guda Babarajaj personally prosecuted Smith, taking the usual step of seeking jail time for the grieved father. Babarajaj was narrowly elected in 2019 with $850,000 from a PAC financed by George Soros. Incoming Virginia Attorney General Jason Ayares, a Republican, has announced plans for an investigation of the Loudoun County School District. At least one school board member has already resigned amid the scandals. This is something we will watch carefully in part two next week of Demonic Rebellion Against God's Laws, Destroyer of Bodies and Souls. Thank you for listening to The Divine Kingdom. May Jesus Christ be with you. Good night.